Oops, again, there we go. Good, wonderful. Here we go. Okay, well, I hardly needed to read these words because they're so well known. So we're on the third and indeed for the time being final week of what we're calling the Plus One Challenge. You'll know what that is by now, I'm absolutely sure. Let me read to you. This talk's called It Takes a Village, okay? And let me read to you from Acts chapter 2, a very well-known few verses. It's a kind of a summary of how the church was going right at the start. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. And they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. I want to go to this church. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Oh, well, it takes a village to raise a child. It's a traditional African proverb which reflects the emphasis that African cultures place on family and community. Now, many of us have seen the outworking of that of that principle in visits that we've made to Malawi and to Mozambique and other African countries as well, where children are looked after and disciplined and guided by whichever adult is nearest. So the children are kind of shared around the village as a whole community endeavour to raise children in those cultures. So what relevance does that have in the context of this series that we've been considering over the past couple of weeks called the Plus One Challenge? Well, just as children are best raised in a community, principally the community called family, but the wider community as well, that community that's sharing the responsibility and looking out for each other. So making disciples works best in that same environment. Now, you remember that the number one priority of the Great Commission was go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. But that was never intended to be a lone pursuit. When Jesus spoke to those 11 disciples and gave them that command, he was doing it in the context of, I will build my church. So go and make disciples. I will build my church, so go and make disciples. And so disciple making is always understood as being within the context of church building. Not that the goal of making a disciple is to get people to come to church. I'm not saying that. The goal of making a disciple is to see that they become in the likeness of Jesus. But the point is, as church is built, so in that context, disciples are made. Because it takes a village to raise a disciple of Christ. But not just any village, a village that works together and that has Jesus at the centre. So, says Paul on one occasion as an example, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. We all had a part in this. It's a bit like with the reversal of Murder on the Orient Express. You know, we each shoved in. You haven't seen it. That was the spoiler alert. Okay, moving on. We all play a part. And what Paul's getting at there is that the glory goes to God. and that we need to leave our egos at the door. Somebody plants, somebody waters, God gets the glory. Leave your ego at the door. Now, the early church understood that village mentality. And as a result, each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Uses the term group a bit sort of loosely here. It was a heck of a big group. There were thousands of them, but their group, those who were being saved. The Great Commission is designed for the whole village, not just for certain individuals. And that's what this plus one challenge is all about. The plus one challenge is a whole church initiative, and a very exciting one at that. It takes the Great Commission call to go and make disciples, takes that seriously, and it places it where it should be, right at the centre of the church. This is the challenge that not just for this church here, but all Kingfisher churches, actually all churches everywhere, that we're all called to take seriously. And the impact of this challenge is going to be felt at four different levels. And I want to focus on those four levels this evening. By the way, you might as well listen to this now, because there's no escaping it. This is it for the coming year. So this is the direction that Kingfisher International Family of Churches, I pray, is taking. So these four levels: it's the personal level, the connect group level, the church-wide level, the international family level. Individual, connect group, church-wide, international family. Let's have a look at those four levels. It's felt on the personal level. See, if it is true that it takes a village to raise a disciple, then it stands to reason that if you are part of that village, then you have a vital role to play in this village slash church. If you are part of it, you have a role to play. Yes, it is true that some people are particularly blessed with the gift of evangelism. I get that. But it's also true that the power of the plus one challenge is that you and I have the maximum amount of credibility with our particular plus one. I don't know your particular plus one, and I have zero credibility with them. I've little enough credibility with the people I do know. But you have the maximum amount of credibility with the person that you know that you are inviting to consider Christ. And by that, and the same thing is true in reverse. You don't have a track record with the person I'm praying for and inviting along. So when Jesus was gathering his first followers, he called a man called Philip, and Philip thought to himself, who could be my plus one? And the answer was obvious. His very good friend, Nathanael. He extends the invitation to Nathanael to be his plus one and to come and meet Jesus of Nazareth himself. And he doesn't get a great response, to be honest. Let's be honest about this. Nazareth, really, that's what you heard in that invitation? Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. So what does Philip now do? Try and argue for, well, there are some good things from Nazareth. I mean, Nazareth, you know, it's had its day in the past. I mean, actually, there are, don't prejudge Nazareth. No, what does he say? He says, come and see. If you want to boil down the whole plus one challenge into three words, it's come and see. Probably not said like that, but, you know, in a normal voice, come and see. I see, I can do it. Come and see, said Philip. See, the essence of inviting a plus one is that they come and make up their own mind. But it is going to take an invitation from someone they trust. Now, Philip puts his credibility on the line because he's confident that once Nathanael has met Jesus, he'll be won over, just like he, Philip, was. Just come and see. You know me. You know I'm not crazy. I'm not trying to brainwash you into joining a cult. Come and make your own mind up. That's the essence of the plus one challenge. And it starts with each individual person taking up the challenge. But it doesn't end there. That's where it starts. See, the powerhouse for the plus one challenge is at the next level, which is the connect group level. The key to this plus one challenge actually working is that we are not embarking upon it alone. Each connect group becomes a place of encouragement and support and what I would call group faith. Group faith. Connect groups provide synergy, together energy. Sun ergos, together energy. As the early church found, they worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. That's synergy. The key word there, the key word that would have been there, and indeed is on your outline somewhere, the key word is together. Together. They did life together. We are going to do this plus one challenge together. Each connect group praying for each other's plus one in the group, praying for the invitations as they're being made, praying for those plus ones to come to a service at church, celebrating when they do, supporting and encouraging when they don't. Alone, it's easy to get demotivated and to just give up praying and stop inviting. What is the point? I have a 100% success rate of nobody coming. What is the point? Alone. Together, we find motivation and encouragement. It builds our faith and it builds the group. A person standing alone can be attacked. How are we doing on that one? No. And defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. What are we praying for as a group, as a connect group? We're praying that the people that we're inviting will start coming along to church or to an inquirers group, to some place where they're going to have the opportunity that Nathanael had to meet Jesus. Now, Ollie is going to be talking a lot more in coming weeks and months about the introduction of plus one Sundays here at Treadworth. And there is, of course, nothing to stop the connect group inviting plus ones along to their own socials and the like, or whatever you have set up. But all of this becomes a lot more doable and more fun when we do it together. When our group begins to share stories in our group meetings of how this is actually working, and we get to celebrate together. Then the plus one challenge is a whole church initiative. It's not just for the active few or the really keen connect groups. It's the whole church initiative. It takes place at the church-wide level as well. So imagine this, everyone. Imagine turning up for church on Sunday morning, wondering which invited or even uninvited guest is going to be there this morning. I wonder who God's going to motivate of our invited guests to come along this morning. Who is going to have the potential of starting on their journey of faith today? Imagine it not just being Connect group members who are excited to see whether their plus ones will turn up this Sunday morning, but imagine the whole church, the whole congregation being excited about the prospect. Imagine all of us thinking, not, I wonder what the songs are going to be. I wonder what we're going to do afterwards. I wonder, did I get that out? Oh, I didn't get that out of the freezer, did I? Oh, it's going to be like 8 o'clock at night before we have lunch at this rate. Oh. Or I wonder if so-and-so is going to be there because I really do need to have a word with them. I hope they're there because I've got to see them about. No, imagine this. Imagine thinking, Lord, this is an opportunity for your Holy Spirit to impact the life of someone for all eternity. I pray that they will come. Oh, God, come on. Come on. You've had all week to motivate them. Come on, God. I pray that they'll hear. And I pray that you will impact them with the truth of it. I pray that they will be made welcome. Oh, please, God, let someone speak to them. And I make myself available for that this morning. Oh, please, God, let not that person speak to them. No, we never pray that. Imagine this. Don't look at me. I mean, imagine this. Imagine if we all came with that mindset. And imagine if we sharpened up our morning services, our welcoming, our serving, our worship, the whole experience, so that those people would come and those prayers would have a better chance of coming to pass. Just imagine that. What if this... Oh, Jack. How could you? Yes. Yeah, I know, Lisa. It was Andy. It was Andy, everybody on the internet. That's Andy Davis, as outed by Lisa. Thank you. If this totally alien experience we are so used to became a carefully, prayerfully thought through experience that unchurched people could relate to, were moved by, and wanted to come back to. We put so much store, don't we, by, let's make the sermons relevant. Let's make the music modern. That's not what causes people to come back to church. What causes people to come back to church was I made to feel welcome when I came in? Was there some effort and some thought given to the thought that I don't know what the heck's going on and I feel really uncomfortable? Did they make any effort to make me feel like I might want to come back again? They, not the message, they. I didn't get the message on the internet. But why would they want to come to church? It's because of how they're welcomed, how they're treated. Remember, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things came into your meeting and they hear everyone talking in an unknown language, they will think you are crazy. Now, we tend to understand unknown language as speaking in tongues, and that's the sense that that was intended by St. Paul. But believe me, even when we think we're speaking in English, it can be a completely unknown language to someone who is unused to church. We're just going to share. What? Just going to have some fellowship. Let's just offer one another a sign of the peace. What? just think this through, people. It can be a completely unknown language, this English that we Christians use to the unchurched. Imagine if we didn't do this for us, but we did it for them. Now, that was the principle upon which Kingfisher was founded 25 years ago. So you would think that we would have this nailed. If nothing else, we've got this right by now. But human beings are creatures of habit. And we all fall into ways of doing things that we think are helpful and open and seeker-friendly and so on, but are in fact completely alien to and incomprehensible to people who aren't in the know and in the club. Now, I know that Ollie's already on this in terms of making our Sunday services run better and be more welcoming, and I'm sure that we're going to be hearing more and more about this. But let me say this. The plus one challenge is a challenge to the whole church to start believing for people to be reached in greater and greater numbers with the life-changing message of the gospel. And this place is going to be a place where they can be invited to, with confidence, to come and hear and receive that message. And it starts with us as a church praying earnestly, expecting great things and growing an environment where growth happens. Now, I am so excited about this. This is getting back to what it was. Yes? Yes. This is about a return to an evangelistic mindset, a growth expectation here at Kingfisher Church, Treadworth. And I've got to tell you that as excited as I am for Treadworth, they never pronounce it like that. Say it properly, Treadworth. Here, the excitement goes off the scale when I think about what this means for the international family level. Because the Great Commission was not build a great big church here in Jerusalem, but go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go! Imagine this. There are around 10,000 people in the Kingfisher family around the world. If everyone rose to the plus one challenge over this coming year, we would see 10,000 people on the road to or actually coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Yes! That's massive! We're seeing wonderful things happening already. New churches planted in the central region, particularly of Malawi. Hundreds coming to know Jesus in India. Members of the Dumagat tribe in the Philippines increasingly coming to faith in Christ. We're already seeing hundreds of new disciples around the world. But the reality is, God is not impressed with large crowds. I often wonder about these mega churches where, if you get a picture of a media picture of a mega church, it's always a vast crowd in the auditorium, as if that is to impress. That's like a what went wrong in the throngs of heaven, where there are countless thousands upon thousands all gathered together to praise God. I mean, that doesn't impress God. That's not it. You know, he sent his son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but receive eternal life. Whoever. He came for individual people. The crowds don't impress. People are what's important to Jesus Christ. Each life matters. Each life matters. Disciples make disciples. We are getting back to making disciples. Not church members, not club members, not group members, disciples of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Inspired by what is happening around the world and believing that it can happen here. I challenge us to agree together that we will see 100 new people on the road to faith here at Kingfisher, Treadworth, by the end of 2018. Well, that's a Mexican wave of amens. I'll go with that. I was looking back at a talk I did in 2009. And in 2009, I was saying, it was at the end of 2009, I was saying, hey, everybody, we've seen 50 new people come into our church and be on the road to finding faith this year. So that was 50 new people like 8 years ago. So I think 8 years later, believing for 100 new people, I mean, it's not exactly, you know, a leap over the Grand Canyon, is it? 100 new people on the road to faith by the end of 2018. Men and women and children responding to the invitation, come and see. On the journey of investigating the Christian faith for themselves, moving towards becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we can either be daunted by that, or we can build each other up in the belief that with God, this can happen. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Just as a spoiler alert for which one I'm going with. Just as in fact you are already doing. You know, it is time that we raised our levels of expectation. It really is. It's time that Great Commission disciples stood up to be counted. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. This is our mission. This is our challenge. This is what is causing me and Jan and a few others to rise to a godly challenge to go and start a church at Kingfisher Church at Westgate, our Westgate building, next year. To go where the need really truly is for those who access our services there already, who are desperate and dying and without hope, and offer the hope of Jesus Christ by planting a church there. I truly believe that we should have an expectation that it will almost immediately outgrow the space that we've got for it. How exciting is that? We need to get back to an expectation that people actually want and need the gospel. And disciples make disciples. Yes, and with God, all things are possible. Good. Yes, let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for the power of agreement, the power of prayer, the power of your word, and more than all of that, the power of your will. This is your will, that we should go and make disciples. This is your desire, that we just offer the invitation, well, come and see. Come and see. You know me, but don't take my word for it. Come and see, knowing that when people meet Jesus, they are changed. So we lift to you this wonderful, awesome faith target of seeing 100 new people, not new pew fillers, 100 people on that road to faith, crossing the line of faith on their way to becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ in 2018. And Lord, if you want to blow our expectations out of the water, and yeah, you're right, Lord, as you've just said to me, why are you waiting for several months? you know, from now, that would be great. Thank you. But would you just raise our level of expectation, raise our level of belief in the power of the gospel, raise our sense of togetherness in this. We're in this together. Yes, it's an every person challenge, but it's a connect group challenge. It's a whole church congregation challenge. I really am looking forward to turning up at church on a Sunday and thinking, well, who's coming this week then? Who's been nudged by the Holy Spirit to respond to the come and see? I'm really excited, Lord, by this new season, which is a return to an old season, that we would see disciples fully devoted to you, reached and raised up. And I personally say, yup, sign me up. Here I am. Use me. And I pray it for me, and we all pray it together in Jesus' name. Amen.